welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, g'day. It's my pleasure to bring you some thoughts right at this moment. You know, in this part of the country, we are blessed now to be moving largely and quite quickly out of the coronavirus lockdown. It might sound a bit strange, but I know personally I've enjoyed some aspects of the enforced pause that has been put upon us at this time. In my place, there's been a lot more family time, and there's been a lot more cooking. There's been a lot of laughter. I've certainly done a lot of maintenance around the house, which has been overdue. There's one thing that I'm not so sure that I'm willing to give up as we emerge out of this period, is the space that has been created. I want to return to the same pace of life that I had before March this year. And I'm wondering, and I suspect that you're the same as me. For the last couple of weeks, Rod has been helping us with the depth of our spiritual lives, and we're still in this general theme of thrive as we come through this strange time in our history. For the next few minutes, I want to encourage you to do some work. And it'd be good if you could get a notepad and maybe you could jot down a few thoughts of what I'm going to say. Not so much that I have great and overabundant wisdom, but that you might write down some thoughts that occur to you that are worth considering in the next week. So today I want to talk with you about balance. And next week I want to talk with you about saying no. I've never heard a sermon on saying no, so next week I'm going to give it a crack. But right now, right at this moment, I want to talk to you about balance. Balance is a tricky area to thrive in. I don't know many people who get balance in their life right, and I certainly don't. Because balancing your life is quite difficult. I mean, you juggle work, you juggle parenting for those who are parents, you juggle recreation time, family, wider family, have-tos, must-dos, should-dos, all those sorts of things. The list just goes on and on. Sometimes it feels a bit like you're a clown in the circus who's standing on a big ball while trying to juggle plates on a stick, and everybody's just looking on, waiting for you to drop something. I don't think it's just me who feels like that. A little while ago, I used a well-known illustration of rocks in a jar. The big rocks, then the sand and the gravel, and then the water. And many people have spoken to me about that illustration since. The point of the illustration is that you have to put the big things in first before all the little things of your life take up too much space. The reason we resonate with that illustration is that not too many people put the big things in first. I wonder about you. Do you know what big things to put in first? I think that's something that we should jot down, that you should jot down, and think about later. So I want to take you this morning, or whenever you're listening to this, to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 127. If you've got your Bible handy, I'd love you to open up to Psalm 127. Psalms are in the Old Testament, and it's about halfway through the Bible. The book of Psalms is a collection of poems, of poetry, of praise, of sadness, of lament. It's all different types of literature. And in the book, we find the whole gamut, the whole range of human emotional experience. And if you've never read it, you're missing out. So I encourage you to take the next, do one a day for the next 150 days, and I guarantee you'll be blessed by having done so. So I want to read to you from Psalm 127. And it says this: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those whom he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the person whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And it's those first couple of verses that I want to bring before you right now. So we're talking about thriving in balance. And this psalm and the next psalm, Psalm 128, have a lot of things to say to us in the area of balance. I'm just going to give you three things, and there are many more, and I encourage you to have a look for yourself. So here's my first point. Balance comes when you know what you've been busy about. Balance comes when you know what you've been busy about. At this moment, I want you to think about your life. Think about what your life was pre-COVID-19. And most of us would admit that we were pretty busy. Even, you know, funny enough, even retirees who've just retired tell me their life is busier than ever before. Now, busy is not bad. In fact, I think busy is quite productive and it can be really meaningful. The out of balance bit comes when we're not clear about the busyness. Is our busyness just for busy's sake? So let me read to you verse 1 of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Now notice twice here, this verse ends with the word vain. The builders labor in vain and the guards stand watch in vain. Now I know there are a lot of other factors in these verses, but those two words jump right out at me. Well, they're the same word. I hate doing something in vain. I hate wasting time or effort or resources. I don't like to be living my life in vain. One of the things that I really dislike in bushwalking is the use or the exchange or the use of energy that is not rewarded. I don't mind going uphill. I don't mind going downhill. But what I don't like is having to go uphill and then because of the contours of the land, having to go back downhill again and not actually seeing any benefit for the effects of all my hard work. And those who've ever done any bushwalking know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I'm sure I'm not alone. You too don't like doing things in vain. But often we seem to find ourselves in a place where we are. I talk to a lot of people at lots of times and people tell me that they are really busy. And sometimes, myself included, just to tell you a little secret between you and me, we do things just for busyness' sake. And we do it as a badge of pride. Yet I've come to realize that being busy is not good enough on its own. You can be busy at doing meaningless tasks and it means nothing. It's meaningless. In the Western world, we have a great fondness for busyness. We fill our lives packed full. So I want to restate the first point to you. The first point about balance that I'm bringing to you right at this moment. Let me restate it in another way. For being busy is not enough. We have to know what we are being busy about. So as you begin to resume parts of your life, do you know what you're busy about? Is it just being busy because that's what you've always done? Is it because you are stepping back then on the merry-go-round without any thought? Unreflective actions will never bring balance. What we've been given at this time, at this moment, is a pause. And I encourage us, all of us, you in particular, to use that pause to evaluate what you've been busy about. What I'm trying to communicate to us this morning, or at this moment, is to use wisdom what we are being busy over. So here's some questions, and here's the main group of questions that I want to bring to you at this moment. And I'd love you to use another person or a group as a sounding board as you work through these questions. Here they are. What have I appreciated about the changes that have been enforced on me? And what do I need to re-engage with? And what do I need to not re-engage with? So here's my second point. And it's a bit shorter and you'll get the meaning immediately. Balance comes when we know our purpose in life. Now, it might be a short point, but it carries a lot of weight. Do you know what your purpose in life is? Psalm 127 verse 2 says this, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those whom he loves. Notice we bump into that word vain again. And it pushes me to ask this question. Is the purpose of your life in vain? Is what driving us worthless? Worthless with the investment that we are making? Because let's be frank, you are investing your life. This is the what is driving you question. What makes you get up in the morning? Is it just that you're making a good living? Is it success? Is it some ambition to better yourself or better your family or better your circumstances? Again, all these are not bad per se by themselves. Don't hear me say that. But as long as you know what is driving you. I've got to tell you, I've been wrestling with this question for a while now. Probably for about the last 10 or so years. For me, it really heightened. It came to the fore once I finished all my doctoral research and I completed my doctorate. For me, now my purpose is about leading a church. But it's also more than that. We can have multiple purposes in our life. The old Westminster Confession, which is one of the foundational documents of the Uniting Church, says, and I'm going to quote it in the original, it says this, "For the chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever." And St. Augustine, one of the early church theologians, a great thinker, said, "Love God and do whatever you want." This is leading to me to my last point, but I want to enhance this one just a little bit more. For this one is worth doing some work over. What is your purpose in life? Finding it. Finding your purpose in life is as simple as asking God to lead you and make it clear to you. I have no doubt while there is a whole general purpose for all of humanity, God has a specific and a tailor-made purpose for you. In the periods of my life when I've been struggling this, I've always asked someone who knows me well, someone who is wiser than me. And I've asked them to help me work through what is my purpose, my specific purpose at this moment. My friends, this is not something to rush into. This is not something to move through quickly. This is something to work out carefully. It's like this. If you're driving to Melbourne, when you can drive to Melbourne, there are several ways you can go. Some longer and some shorter, but eventually, if you take one of the several roads, you'll get to Melbourne. But you'll never get to Melbourne from Adelaide if you drive west across the Nullarbor. Knowing your purpose brings balance in your life. And now, right at this very moment, is the time for you to do that. Here's the third thing that I want to say. And the one that I've been hedging around the whole time, and some of you are already going, when is he going to mention this? And it's this. Balance comes when we align our lives with God. Did you notice in verse 1, who builds the house? Did you notice who it was that watches over the city? Did you notice who it was the one who was giving? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. And then if you flick over, or if you just move your eyes a bit further to the next psalm, verse 1 of Psalm 128, it says this, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him." The Bible tells us over and over again, pages after pages, that when we connect our lives with God, we live as we were made to. We live as we originally designed to. It's like we run in the groove that's been set out for us, so we run straight and true, not off track. To get a life of balance, it has to include God first. That is the involvement of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day existence. Not out there removed, not just on a Sunday, but every single day. Jesus tells us this in a nutshell It is one of his most famous sayings from Matthew 6:33. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If you deliberately include God at the start of everything, it means you get the order right. It's like that example I gave to you of going to Melbourne, and it's like not having any idea where true north is. How can you take an accurate bearing if you don't know where you are at this moment? And so you begin in a deep problem before you even start. Jesus makes it clear that if we put ourselves purposely and thoughtfully in his hands, we ensure that our life remains in balance. You see, God is the originator of balance. Just look around you. Look at creation. Look at how the world operates, particularly when we didn't, parts of it, when we haven't come along and wrecked it. Some parts of the world are still in beautiful balance, still bearing the marks of the Creator. The truth of the matter is that your out-of-balance life can come back into balance if you allow God to help you and bring it under control. So how do you do this? Let me be really practical. Ask God to lead you and to speak to you. Continue to read your Bible and know his heart. You increase your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit who will, if you allow the Holy Spirit to, will speak to you in gentleness. Keep your heart soft to God and say to God, "I want to be soft towards you, so please guide me." Keep godly influences high on your list of yeses, and you put non-godly issues or influences high on the list of no's. Keep in connection with other Christians and you fill your mind with positive, God-pleasing things. I know that sounds, for some of you, really simple. In fact, following Jesus is really simple. Jesus will lead you into balance in your life, and it's a beautiful thing. There are some things you'll need to let go of and some things that you'll need to pick up. But when you do, you'll discover how balanced, filled your life becomes. If you don't know this Jesus, then the opportunity is here for you too. All you have to do is ask him, say, "Jesus, would you be real in my life?" And he will. You know, it's not too late. In fact, it's just the right time. So I hope by now you've written down some things. And what I'm asking you to do this week is to ponder those things and have a conversation with someone else who might help you work through it. Someone you trust, someone mature, someone else that can help you think about balance and your balance in life. Someone who will tell you the truth about the balance in your life. Now, I'm wanting to ask you to do something. I know you're probably sitting in your lounge room or at the kitchen table or whatever. I wonder if you'd stand up. That's it. All of us, stand up. I'm not going to stand up because that'll interrupt the camera angle that we've got set at this moment. But if you would stand up and then try and stand on one leg. Go on, give it a go. Now, I know some of you can do it really easy. I know some of you are really struggling to do it. Those of you who are doing it really easy, shut your eyes and try and stand on one leg. Now, I suspect that all of us, or most of us, either can't stand on one leg or can't stand on one leg with our eyes closed, and we will need to grab hold of something to ensure our balance remains and we don't fall over. Jesus is something that we can grab hold of that helps us live our life in balance. He is a steady anchor in times like this, in times of turmoil and uncertainty. Jesus wants us to thrive in this life. Why don't you hold on to him? Let me say a prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd give us balance in our lives. Help us to find our balance in you May you be our true north, so we know our purpose and our direction. And may we take our cues off you. Help us to have courage to let go of the things that don't give us balance, that take us out of kilter, and help us to embrace those things of you that will restore balance to us, that we might thrive in this world that you've given to us and be the person you've created us to be. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.